His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hare Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees Hare Krishna. All glories to the beautiful lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shri Mateshwara Vampad Swami Tinamini. Hare Krishna. I just wanted to also say something about Anand Kesari Prabhu. He was also a big supporter of our book distribution. Whenever we would have our marathons, he was always very eager to participate and sponsor books, take books, and I really pray to Srila Prabhupada that he takes him under his wing and engages him in devotional service. Hare Krishna. I want to just chant a Maha Mantra for him. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 11, Verse 18. And the chapter is entitled, Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka. We'll do word for word. Varnaindram, Varnaindram. Elephants on the auspicious mission. On the auspicious mission. Puraskritya, skritya, putting in the front. Brahmanai, by the Brahmanas. Sasummangalai, sumangalai with all auspicious signs. Shankha, Kongsha, Turya, bugle, Ninadena, by the sound of, Brahma Ghoshena, by chanting the hymns of the Vedas, Cha, and Adritaha, glorified, Prati, towards, Ujjagmu, proceeded hurriedly, Rathai, on the chariots, Hrishta, in cheerfulness, Pranayagata, saturated with affection, Sadvasaha, all respectful, Varanendram Purusa, Varanendram Puraskritya, Brahmanai Sasumangalai, Shankaturyaninadena, Brahma Ghoshena Chadritaha, Pratyujagmurathai Hrishta, Pranaya Gata Sadvasaha, Gata Sadvasaha, Varanendram Puraskritya, Brahmanai Sasumangalai, Shankaturyaninadena, Brahma Ghoshena Chadritaha, Pratyujagmurathe Hrishta, Pranayagata Sadvasaha. Please chant. Varanendram Puraskritya, Manai Sasumangalai, Shankaturyaninadena, Pratyujagmurathe Hrishta, Pranayagata Sadvasaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ho. Translation. They hasten towards the Lord on chariots with brahmanas bearing flowers. Before them were elephants, emblems of good fortune. Conchs and bugles were sounded and Vedic hymns were chanted. Thus they offered their respects, which were saturated with affection. Purport. The Vedic way of receiving a great personality creates an atmosphere of respect which is saturated with affection and veneration for the person received. The auspicious atmosphere of such a reception depends on the paraphernalia described above, including conch shells, flowers, incense, decorated elephants, and the qualified brahmanas reciting verses from the Vedic literatures. Such a program of reception is full of sincerity on the part of both the receiver and the received. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Ukam Karoti Vachalam Pangur Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Ham Vande Shri Gurun Dinap Karunam. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. I just want to say that I'm feeling really sad on the passing of this devotee, because I'm very close with his wife, at least in terms of knowing her. So I'm just very sad, so please forgive me if I'm kind of out of sorts. So they hasten. So who is the one who's hastening towards the Lord? Can we kind of go back? Who's going towards the Lord on chariots with brahmanas? I know some of you are regulars. So it is actually the previous verse is that on hearing that, this is verse 16 and 17, on hearing that the most dear Krishna was approaching Dwarka, some of the great Vrishnis, Vasudev, Akrura, Ugrasen, Balaram, Pradyumna, Charudeshna, and Samba, the son of Jambavati. So they are mentioned in the previous verse. They abandoned all their resting. They became very happy when they heard that Krishna is almost there on the gates of approaching Dwarka. And they abandoned their resting, sitting, and dining. So we know, as soon as I read that, I was reminded of the gopis, how the gopis would, when Krishna would just, they would just hear the flute of Krishna, they would just give up everything and abandon everything, even like nursing their babies or cooking, something is on the fire, they just leave and they leave to be with Krishna. And so the Dwarkavasis have been experiencing a lot of separation from Krishna, and because he's been gone for many, many months in Hastinapur, so in the many, many verses before, we were seeing how there was so much viraha, they're experiencing like so much separation from the Lord, and they feel like their life air has come back when they hear that Krishna is coming. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the Vedic way of receiving or welcoming a great personality is what is described in this verse. So one of the things which I was considering was when we went to the Japa retreats, one of the Japa retreats, I think it was Sachinandan Swami's Japa retreat, one of the first ones I went, and that we were mentioning about when we start doing our Japa, we welcome Nam Prabhu. We actually, because he's actually very kindly agreeing to appear on our tongue and dance on our tongue, so we welcome Nam Prabhu. Like suswagatam, suswagatam, you're welcoming him so that he can, you can, like, you know, and by attentively chanting, we are actually worshipping him. By listening and hearing, we are actually worshipping Nam Prabhu like that. So, because Nam Prabhu is our greatest personality for our, in this age of Kali, for our advancing in Krishna consciousness. And currently the other thing which we are doing is reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So, welcoming Srimad Bhagavatam, and devotees say the prayers for Srimad Bhagavatam, which I didn't say today. But I remember last year when we started the first canto, we started the Bhagavatam all over again. So we spent a few days on the first verse. Many speakers were speaking on the first verse. But before that, at least 2 days, I think, or 3 days were spent in glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. The verses which are in the Srimad Bhagavatam or in other scriptures which are glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. And we are welcoming Srimad Bhagavatam when we glorify, because when we are welcoming a person, we have different, you know, we have items, and then we glorify them, we chant the mantras to glorify them. So I wanted to just say these prayers which are by Srila Sanatana Goswami to Srimad Bhagavatam. They're so beautiful, and I just wanted to share them with you at this point. So Sanatana Goswami says, O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures, you are the most prominent transcendental fruit of the Vedas and are enriched with the jewels of all philosophical conclusions. You grant spiritual vision to all people of the world and are the very life breath of the Vaishnava devotees. O Lord, you are the sun which has risen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. Actually, you are Lord Krishna, who has returned among us. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer respectful obeisances unto you. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss, because your syllables shower down pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. I know in some many temples, they actually have the Srimad Bhagavatam on the altar, and they worship Srimad Bhagavatam on a daily basis. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, companion and teacher, O my great wealth and deliverer, O my good fortune and bliss, I offer respectful obeisances to you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Accompanied by pure love of Krishna, please manifest yourself in my heart and throat. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai ho. So in this verse, certain auspicious items are mentioned. So I would just kind of comment upon them a little bit. So the first item is mentioned is conch shell. So conch shell we know in our worship, temple worship, and worship of Krishna and worship of any, actually even worship in, you know, some of the other temples in the like demigod worship, conch shells are always blown, and before we start our service. And also we know from reading the Bhagavad Gita that before the battle of Kurukshetra began, all the different personalities, starting with Krishna, were blowing their conch shells. And we know from that we see, it was mentioned that when Krishna, what's the name of Krishna's conch shell? Panchajanya. And Arjuna, Manipushpaka? Arjuna's conch shell? Yeah. So Arjuna, so they are blowing their conch shell, and the, it says it shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. So, and also on the side of the Kurus, also the conch shells were also blown, and so signaling the start of the battle. But the sons of Dhritarashtra, their hearts were actually shattered when they were hearing this beautiful sound of the conch shell, which is coming from Krishna's conch shell. Flowers. So flowers, of course, we are, for us, offering flowers to the deities, offering flowers to Guru, is so important that I know whenever I go, when I dress the deities and I go and buy flowers at the store, at Publix, now that we go regularly, so they actually ask, what is this? What you all get on a regular basis? What is the occasion? So actually I've ended up showing the picture of my the dressing which I've done, and I've shown pictures of the deities to them. I said, this is what we do. And so just by, you know, buying the flowers, we're actually, somehow maybe jump-starting their spiritual life, because they see the picture of, they see deities, and they see, oh wow, this is what happens to the flowers? You make it every day? Yes, we do. So yes, yeah, so importance of, and actually one devotee was saying sometime, I remember last year, they were saying in the Pujari room, that Krishna remembers every flower we have offered. So every flower we have offered, we are so fortunate that just by offering a flower to Krishna, we can actually, you know, win over Krishna. And another person was mentioning was that every flower we get, so the plant which the flower has come from, that plant actually gets a human birth. So we are, again, we are jump-starting their spiritual life by buying these flowers, and the original plant is getting a human birth. And Mother Akuti was mentioning a couple of days ago when she was speaking on the setting up of the Dwarka. Dwarka was all getting decorated in anticipation of Krishna's arrival. She was mentioning the flower decorations in different temples. And I do remember in Radharaman temple, and I've seen pictures of it. And when we went there, there was some decoration, but they sometimes do very elaborate. They're called jhankis. They decorate the temple. It's like a canopies, different canopies. The walls are all decorated with the flowers. And very, very intricate decorations are there. So flowers are so like central to invoking auspiciousness. And when we have heard of Srila Prabhupada's memories from Prabhupada's devoted disciples, and seen videos, Srila Prabhupada is coming and there's flowers and flowers, and actually I remember seeing one video in which Prabhupada was about to enter the temple, and from second floor there was like a shower of flowers. Devotees gathered so many flowers and they were just showering flowers. So I think it was at the manor. So such sweet exchanges the devotees were having with Srila Prabhupada, because as we know, we sing every morning, Sakshat Haritvena Samasta Shastre. The Guru is as good as God, or Prabhupada would say, both are God, but there is a distinction, which is Guru is God and Krishna is God, but Guru is Sevaka Bhagavan. He is worshipping. Spiritual master is worshipper of God and Krishna is Sevya Bhagavan. Krishna is worshipable God. So Sevya means one who is worshipped and Sevaka means one who is worshipper. So we respect and worship our Guru as much as we would, with as much respect as we give to Krishna. And then loud chanting of the holy names or the verses, Brahmanas were chanting Vedic hymns which creates auspiciousness. So in our case, when Srila Prabhupada would be arriving, the devotees would go, sometimes they would come from all over the area. So if they were coming into LA, devotees from all of the Western Yatra would come, hundreds and hundreds of devotees would be at the airport and they're chanting the holy names and creating such an auspicious atmosphere. And one of the fun story which I recently heard was that Srila Prabhupada was coming back from somewhere and he was arriving in this airport, and his servant, when you come from outside the country, they have a thing, you have to fill up what all you have, you know. So he filled up for Srila Prabhupada that he had one suitcase. And when they came into the immigration, and then they would not let Srila Prabhupada leave because they said until his baggage comes, he cannot leave. So the servant was feeling very sad, distraught, because Srila Prabhupada had to stand and wait for the luggage, and he was begging them, please let him go, because he's old and we don't want him to stand. And he's like, no, he has to wait. It is written that he has one suitcase, he has to wait. And then the security people were coming in and out, you know, people are coming in and out of the gates, and there was a big kirtan going on outside. So one of the chief security person came and he says, is all this sound for him, all this thing going on outside? And his servant said, yes. They said, okay, if we let him go, will this stop? Like, sure it will. So they let him go. And of course, as soon as he went out, I'm sure they all offered obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. So the music stopped. So it was like funny that the kirtan, of course, all these people are hearing the kirtan. So very, very sweet that Srila Prabhupada's arrival would engage and actually make so many people hear the holy name. And you know, we hear stories about how some people who were like brand new, maybe just they met the devotee the day before, or they just started coming to the temple, or they have just met, and they come to the airport because they hear, oh, the Guru is coming. So they come, and the mood which was there of the devotees with so much love for Srila Prabhupada, so much affection, that these brand new people would also offer obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, because they could feel the connection and they could feel how strong the mood was to serve the Guru. And as second generation, third generation devotees and disciples, we actually can learn from Srila Prabhupada's disciples how they worship Srila Prabhupada and how they actually have set a precedent for us, and how we can worship our Guru. And another quote which is somebody was mentioning about devotees when they were in Puri and they could not enter the, you know, the Western devotees cannot enter the Puri temple, the Jagannath Puri temple. And so they had all gone to Srila Prabhupada to Puri, I think. And the story goes that Srila Sathrup Maharaj was saying something about it, and he said, you know, we don't worry about it. We have no grievance that we can't enter the temple, because all the holy places are residing at our Guru's feet. And this is the mood. They actually internalize that mood of worshipping the Guru in that way. Another auspicious item which is mentioned is the elephants. Elephants are very auspicious, and even currently till today in the Sri Rangam temple in South India, before Mangal Arati, it is said that an elephant and a cow is brought in front of the deities every day. And of course, we know in our Mayapur temple, we have an in-house elephant. I'm not sure there's one or two elephants who actually are being cared for by the devotees on the property. And I think it's once a week that the Gurukuli boys bring out the deities, the Utsav deities, and they go for like a tour of the property. So the elephants are very auspicious for, you know, especially in a welcome situation.
Guru Vayur also.
They go on an elephant? Oh, wow. So in Guru Vayur, which is in South India, the deities go on like a palanquin and sit on top of the elephant.
That every day he went on procession and he got old and sick, and so he couldn't go, and they would hear him crying and crying because he couldn't take the deity.
Hare Krishna.
And when he passed away, they have his tusks outside above the altar with his name there. Like his name was Keshava or something.
Oh, the elephant was crying.
Yes, the elephant
Hare
was
Krishna.
Crying. He was so attached to bringing the deities on procession.
Jai, the elephant was crying that he could not go and take the deities around. Wow, sweet. Thank you very much, Prabhu. And this, the last three words of the verse is, they offered their respect which were saturated with affection, pranaya gata. So the Dwarkavasis have so much love for Krishna. It is not just a show. They cannot, for instance, the political leaders we have currently, people, you know, when they come in on a rally or whatever, people give them some respect. Of course, in our country, we have the First Amendment rights, so we can choose not to even give respect. But, you know, like in dictatorships, they will have to, even if they totally hate the leader, they have to show that they're very happy when they saw the leader, like in North Korea. And they, not that they love him, but they are in fear of the leadership. But this is not the case of the Dwarkavasis. They are full of affection, saturated with affection for Krishna. And it actually shows. It is not just, you know, oh, because he is he's a strong personality, or he has shown so many magical feats. It is because they really love Krishna. And of course, you know, nityo nityanam, chetanas chetananam. And then Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that such a program of reception is full of sincerity on the part of both the receiver and the received. So we'll just talk for a little bit about sincerity of purpose and some stories from Shastra on the welcome given to Krishna and the sincerity of purpose. So Prabhuji, if anybody would like to say any story that comes to your mind, which was great, elaborate, welcome is given to Krishna or to the devotees, if you would like to share any of those stories. Anyone? Mother? No? Yeah? Because the Bhagavatam is actually filled with different places. One of the things which I can think of while we are getting ready is, Narada Muni, when he comes, anywhere he comes, he's being welcomed so beautifully by different devotees who meet Narada Muni. Yes, Prabhu Jaya Govinda Prabhu.
When they take the deities on procession in Mayapur on Saturday nights, there are always Brahmins chanting scriptures, Sanskrit, along with the procession, and there's people flowing along the sides of the road. They're throwing flowers to the deities as they pass by, and it's very joyous and reverent and happy as well.
Thank you. So we are continuing the tradition of welcoming the Lordship. Anybody else would like to share? So I was one thing which I came across was that Krishna greeted by Duryodhan. So when all it was figured finally that there will be war, because Duryodhan was not willing to give even land which was equal to 5 needles, like, you know, where needles would go, that much land he was not willing to give. So Krishna was it was almost decided that there would be a war. So at the last minute it was said, okay, let Krishna will go and persuade, go to Hastinapur and persuade Duryodhan and persuade Dhritarashtra. So he went as a Shanti Dut, as a peace messenger. Krishna left. And it's described that, so this is from Mahabharata, that Krishna was actually in a place called, or the Pandavas were in a place called Upaplavya. And so Krishna's chariot was readied, and when the citizens saw that Krishna was there, and they actually came to get a glimpse of Krishna, and it is described that Krishna's chariot, wherever Krishna's chariot went, the lotuses were actually like raining lotuses, and the people were gathering at the corner of the road. So every village that the chariot was going through, they were gathering at the corners of the road and welcomed Krishna to their place. They worshipped him and honored him with curd, which is yogurt, lotus, fruits, honey and sweets. And accepting the pure devotion, Krishna continued for Hastinapur. And the fragrance of lotus filled the whole area, and the wind carried with it pleasure to the nearby villages to indicate the arrival of Krishna. And then it's described that in the meantime, in Hastinapur, very bad omens were being seen. It was darkness, and the lakes and ponds were flooded. The wind was carrying dust everywhere in the city and even in the houses. And so Dhritarashtra was actually could sense that there was something not very right. Some bad omen is happening. Why is this happening? And Vidura actually says that, Vidura is saying that he heard from spies that Krishna has left to come here, and it's as if like the rain and wind is washing away the immoralities of Hastinapur to welcome him. And as Krishna was nearing Hastinapur, the wind and the rain stopped, and the residents of Hastinapur, as they heard that Krishna is about to come, it says the news spread like wildfire. The people started cleaning their houses and streets to welcome Krishna. And even in the palace, Dhritarashtra actually ordered that everything should be way, way first class. He says, decorators were called upon to decorate the palace with flowers and pearls and precious gems. Great chefs were called to prepare delicious sweets, drinks and dishes. The servants and servant maids of the palace cleansed the floors and gardens. And so Dhritarashtra didn't want to leave anything to, like, you know, he wanted everything. He actually said to Duryodhan, you take charge of decorating everything. And Duryodhan, as we know, he's envious, he's dishonest, he has nothing good to say about Krishna or the Pandavas. And it says here that he was listening to all these instructions, and yes, he would do all the things, but in his heart he's saying, he's just a cowherd. And you all welcome him and treat him like God, that Krishna is visiting Hastinapur to shatter my dreams, and you all want me to welcome him wholeheartedly. So that was Duryodhan's mood. So it's now described that everything was so beautiful. The palace, they actually decided to have a special guest house for Krishna. Everything was with gold beds, gold, they said to welcome him, they sent like, all of the sons and grandsons of Dhritarashtra went to welcome him. 1,000 beautiful young dancing girls, and there was a lot of paraphernalia. Everything, the furniture and the couches were very beautiful. Everything was made of gold, and Dhritarashtra he offered to Krishna like 16 or so many chariots made with gold, and 18,000 woolen blankets, elephants. So all of this welcome is happening. But Krishna, when he comes, he sees the residents of Hastinapur, and he feels that affection coming from them. And at first he just comes to pay a little visit, and then he has to come back the next day. But so when he comes, Duryodhan says, we have this beautiful guest house for you, and we would like for you to stay there, and you can have food and you can rest. And Krishna just smiles, because he could sense that envy, that deceitfulness and dishonesty of Duryodhan. And he actually says to him, he doesn't like mince any words. He just says, it's very kind of you, but I am here as an ambassador of peace. And I'm here on behalf of the Pandavas, who you have an unreasonable hatred for. So I cannot accept your food and pleasures. I will stay in Vidura's home. And as we know that Vidura's house is much more simpler, humble abode of Vidura. And Vidura is only able to offer Krishna very simple saak, like, you know, spinach sabji. And actually there is a pastime in which Vidura is so much ecstatic. Him and his wife are so ecstatic that Krishna actually chooses to come stay with them. They are offering him banana, but instead of banana, they are offering him a banana peel. But Krishna is actually seeing the sincerity of the person who is doing the offering, and he reciprocates accordingly. So, very important that a reception which is done, it is done with sincerity, and the guest is treated with respect, not only externally but internally as well. And the other very famous story is of Sudama Brahman. He comes to Dwarka and at the behest of his wife, and I'll just tell you about the beautiful welcome which Krishna gave him. So Krishna and Rukmini he's in Rukmini's quarters, and he sees that Sudama has come. He immediately stood up. So that's another thing we need to do. When we welcome someone, we immediately stand up. The least we can do is stand up, welcome them. Prabhupada would say, offer them a seat and give them at least some water. And I know that's very, in India we always do that. My parents would always instill that in us, that when somebody comes, water should be immediately brought out. Because mostly it's very warm, hot there, and you want to kind of cool there because people are feeling warm, hot when they're coming from the outside. But you immediately offer them water, and so that they can feel welcome as soon as they come. That's the minimum we can do. But what Krishna did was he embraced the Brahmana. And it is described that Krishna only embraced Rukmini and Balaram. So the people in the palace were very surprised that this Brahmana who's got like tattered clothes and not very clean, and Krishna actually is making him sit on his own bed. And then he personally brought out fruits and drinks for Sudama, and he washed his feet. So we can imagine, Sudama has been walking for days, his feet must be so dirty. Krishna washes those feet and then sprinkles the water on his own head. So that is how much respect is being given to a guest. And then Krishna smears the body of Sudama with scented sandalwood pulp, aguru and saffron. He immediately burned several kinds of incense and then offered him arati with burning lamps. And thus he offered him an adequate welcome. And after he had eaten, had drunk, had his food and drink, then they started talking about their childhood, you know, in Sandipani Muni's ashram. So yeah, so Krishna is showing by his example how we actually worship our guests. And actually it is said, there is a word for guests in Sanskrit and in Hindi, atithi. Atithi, and atithi is actually, tithi is a date. Like, you know, we say, anyway, I can't think of in Sanskrit what we say, but tithi means a date. And atithi means no date. Somebody who comes without announcing. So it's an unscheduled guest. So an atithi is like a deva, is like God. And guest needs to be treated like God. Atithi deva bhava. Because those, when we, for us, we have, with my family, every other week, we have a little get-together. All of my children and their grandparents, they come and we have a little get-together. So we know, we decide, okay, this is on this date, they will come. So we welcome them accordingly. But when somebody comes without informing us, those unscheduled guests, then the way we treat them, that's what Krishna sees. How am I receiving those guests? And the very famous pastime of King Rantidev is there, right? In which King Rantidev, he has been fasting for 48 days. And I don't know how one can survive after fasting for 48 days, because apparently he did not even drink water. And he just got something to eat. And he was a very, very, he's a king, but he's totally engaged in serving the Lord and his devotees, and he doesn't make any extra endeavor to get anything for himself. So here he has fasted and he just got some food and drink, and somebody comes unexpectedly, an atithi comes, and a Brahman actually comes. So King Rantidev immediately gives him a share of his food because, you know, the Brahmana is there. And then whatever was left, he shared it with his family and with himself. And he was about to eat when a Shudra comes. And King Rantidev, so Shudra is described like, Shudra is considered really low class, but Rantidev is, this person has a relationship with the Supreme and I need to serve him. So he gave him his another part of the food. And then there was another guest who comes who's surrounded by dogs, and he says, my dear king, my dogs are very hungry, can you please give some food? So he gives the rest of the food to the dogs and to the person who had come with the dogs, and he actually gives them with great cheerfulness. He offers them respect, he offers them obeisances, and now only the water is left. And then a chandala comes. A chandala is somebody who's an untouchable. Those who actually clean the toilets and they take away the refuse from the toilets. He appears and he says, I am very, very sorry, and I know I'm very lowborn, but I'm very thirsty. And he gives away his water to him. So that is how Rantidev is actually treating those guests who are unscheduled guests. And he's actually feeling in his heart with great, with sincerity, he's feeling that when I offer my water to maintain this chandala, I actually have been freed from all hunger and thirst, all fatigue, all, everything is gone by serving these people who have come to my doorstep. And of course, we know the story that they were actually Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva who were testing Rantidev and seeing how his mood was to serve the devotees. Another story which I have is of Prithu Maharaj, you know, receiving the four Kumaras. This is in the fourth canto. Prithu Maharaj, when the four Kumaras came, he, Prithu Maharaj is also actually very, very, he's the king or the emperor of the whole planet. And as soon as he sees the four Kumaras, he stands up and he welcomes them. Then he washes their feet and he puts the water over his hair. So he's actually showing by his example how you welcome a spiritually advanced personality. And in the fifth canto, as we know, the fifth canto mentions the hells, different hells. So there are some hells for not receiving guests properly. So I thought I'll just touch upon, there are three verses which I want to just mention, or two verses. This is canto 5, chapter 26, verse 18. So hells for not receiving guests properly. A person is considered no better than a crow if after receiving some food he does not divide it among guests, old men and children, but simply eats it himself. Or if he eats it without performing the five kinds of sacrifice. I'm thinking, since we are offering all our food to Krishna and we're eating only remnants, so we have already at least observed some sacrifice there, right? After death, he's put into the most abominable hell known as Krimi Bhojana. In that hell is the lake of 800,000 miles wide and filled with worms. He becomes a worm in that lake and feeds on the other worms there who also feed on him. Unless he atones for his actions, such a sinful man remains in the hellish land of Krimi Bhojana for as many years as there are miles in the width of the lake. So, dear devotees, we have to be very careful. Actually, and the next verse is, a householder who receives guests or visitors, so I would say these are atithi, who have come unscheduled, who receives guests or visitors with cruel glances, as if to burn them to ashes, is put into the hell called Paryavartana, where he is gazed at by hard-eyed vultures, herons, crows, and similar birds, which suddenly swoop down and pluck out his eyes with great force. Hare Krishna. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the Vedic etiquette is that even an enemy who comes to a householder's home should be actually received in such a gentle way that they forget that they have come into the house of an enemy. And we know in the Mahabharata that the Kurus and the Pandavas, they would actually in the night time after the battle is over, they would actually entertain each other. Like Arjuna went, then the five arrows were golden arrows which were given to Duryodhan by Bhishma Dev for safekeeping. And there's a whole backstory that Arjuna had gotten a boon from Duryodhan. So Arjuna goes to the camp of the Kurus and he sees Duryodhan, and Duryodhan immediately, like, even though there's so much enmity, he just welcomes him because somebody has come as a guest to his camp. And what do you want? And Arjuna says, I want the five arrows. And he actually gives it to him because a Kshatriya is always true to his word. So that boon, he said, okay, you remember the boon you gave me? Yes, I did. Okay, since he has come to my door, I gave him a boon, I'm going to give him the arrows, which she knew were meant to kill them, but Duryodhana still gave them to him. So even a person like Duryodhana is welcoming an enemy very, very politely. And we, you know, Manigriva and Nala Kuvara, how they did not receive Narada Muni nicely. They actually became trees for not receiving a guest properly. Another thing is that as a guest, we need to have the least expectation when we go somewhere. There are certain rules which one person who's going as a guest to somebody's house, how one should be when they're going as a guest. And I remember from my childhood, we used to go, we never had phones, nobody had phone in their house. Of course, cell phones were not even around at that time. So we would go to our relatives' homes. We could not tell them ahead of time that we are coming because, you know, how would we tell them? So we would actually go, it would take us maybe 1 hour, 2 hours to get to somebody's house. And then you go there and nobody's there. And that's luck. But then sometimes they are there and then they are very happy to see you. You spend the whole day with them and you come home. But I remember there was one particular cousin of my mother, an aunt, we would show up. I don't know why we even went to their home, but they would not be very happy to see us. And we could hear pots and pans in the background, you know. But they would not give us, maybe they would give us water. And the lunchtime came and went, and evening, whatever, tea time came and went. They would not give anything to eat. And I remember my parents would say, like, oh, they are miserly and stuff like that. But I remember my mother would say, go with no expectation. Eat before you go, so that if they give you something, it's good. If they don't give you anything, you're good as well, because you are just going there as a courtesy to see them. So as aspiring Vaishnavas, however, we ultimately want to receive the blessings of the devotees who are coming, or the blessings of the guests who are coming to our house. And when we actually greet the devotees, greet our guests with great attention, we are actually telling Krishna, I'm ready to receive you in this way. Krishna is actually testing us. When we are receiving our guests, we need to see that Krishna is sending these guests our way. And especially when we are doing book distribution, as I was seeing this, I was thinking about it. When we are at a book table, or if somebody stops by and they actually have got a little bit of interest to receive some Krishna consciousness, we need to see that Krishna is sending this person to me, and I have to serve them in such a way that their attraction to Krishna somehow gets kindled, and then of course it grows. So as followers of Srila Prabhupada, who was a first class, super first class host, he would make sure that nobody, if anybody comes, they would, what did he have? I always mention this because I love that, a huge container of gulab jamuns. There was always some prasadam, and Srila Prabhupada says that nobody within 10 miles of our temple should go hungry if they come to our temple. So always he would say, give them something. If nothing, like, you know, in the beginning in 26 Second Avenue, it would just be a fruit. Apples are being cut and Prabhupada is giving apples to them. And so always have some exchange when a guest comes. Make them feel like when we have guests coming to the temple and somehow this service has come to me, to be in the welcome center on Sundays, sometimes I kind of take it very, like, you know, que sera sera. But as I was reading this, I was thinking, wow, it's so important. Because Krishna is sending those guests who are coming, and as I'm serving them, I'm actually telling Krishna, I'm ready to receive you, my dear Krishna. And I just want to end with this. There's many more things which I want to say, but you know, when Bhakti Charu Swami passed away this last summer, my daughter-in-law, she was telling us some story, some little exchange which I didn't know that happened with her, maybe a couple years, I'm not sure how many, 2-3 years ago. She and a friend were going to New York City, and Maharaj, Bhakti Charu Swami, was on the same flight. So I'm not sure whether they met him on the flight or they met him when they got off the plane. But when he saw them, they greeted him, whatever must have happened. But he offered to bring them in his car. They were going to the temple, and Maharaj was going somewhere else, to wherever he was staying. But he was so gentle, such a gentleman. He saw these two young girls who were, you know, they must be going to get a cab or something. But he didn't feel like, I'm the sannyasi, GBC, whatever. He felt compassion and love for these devotees. And he actually, and New York City is like, I've gone to New York City a few times and it drives me crazy. I cannot think of even living there ever. But he gave the ride to these girls and dropped them off at the temple and then went. And also so many devotees were telling in their memories that Maharaj would, in Mayapur where he had his ashram, GBC meetings, he would actually cook personally for all of the devotees. Such opulent prasadam he would cook, and he would serve them all. And so yeah, in our movement, in our society, there are devotees who are giving such good examples how we should actually serve the devotees. So I just pray that by doing these small sevas, I can please Guru and I can please Krishna. And as we are doing these little worships, these little sevas of welcoming guests and devotees, we become a little bit more selfless, a little bit more broad-minded. So that's all I have to say. If you have any questions, I'll just repeat the verse or comments. So they hastened towards the Lord on chariots with brahmanas bearing flowers. Before them were elephants, emblems of good fortune, conch shells and bugles were sounded, and Vedic hymns were chanted. Thus they offered their respects, which were saturated with affection. Does anybody have any comment or question? Oh, so somebody has said in the comments here, in Juhu, they used to bring a cow and an elephant to deity greeting every day. I didn't know that. In Juhu, so this is a Juhu temple in Bombay or Mumbai. This is Vegavati. Thank you, Mother Vegavati. And Vaishnavi Dasi says, in Guru Vayur daily, the deities go on elephant procession. It takes about 6 hours for the procession. As far as I know, the entire time, Hare Krishna mantra is chanted. This goes on every day. Wow.
Where is that?
Yeah, she says in Guru Vayur. So Mother Vaishnavi kind of added that the deities go, and it takes about 6 hours for the entire thing to get over. Wow. Jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you for devotees who are listening online. Prabhuji, anybody has anything to say? No? All right. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, so Gadaraj Prabhu was the one throwing flowers. Hare Krishna.
Many places.
Many places? Alright, so many places Srila Prabhupada, they would throw flowers like that. Like showers of flowers. Do you want to say something about it? About Prabhupada welcoming Srila Prabhupada?
Los Angeles? Pardon? You're talking about Los Angeles?
Yes.
That was like, really a busy airport, so there's a lot of people there, and there was like hundreds of devotees, and so Prabhupada would walk really fast, you know, especially in the airport. And so Prabhupada was walking, and we were all running, you know, behind. And I was thinking, how is it Prabhupada's walking, but we're running? You know what I mean? Because it was almost like, and it was so ecstatic, it was so loud and ecstatic that you can't really, you know, describe it. But I remember, well, New York also, New York, JFK, they actually brought another Vyasa-san to the airport, a portable one. Like, probably we in the you know, the area, we actually put the Vyasa-san there. And probably sat on it and gave class in the airport, and nobody minded. And there was hundreds, a lot of devotees, and on the balcony, all around, all the people were standing, looking, watching. It was such an attractive thing that everybody would stop and watch. And Prabhupada would give it. Do you want to hear a little part of it?
Yes, you know? Sure.
So we were making these small books at that time. This was like 72. We were making small books at that time, and big books. But that's when we had the Raja Vidya. It had just been printed for Prabhupada did when it came. So the devotee brought, they put a silver plate, and they put the book on the silver plate, and Prabhupada was sitting down, and they offered to show him. Prabhupada picked up the book and said, and he goes, Raja Vidya. You know how Prabhupada talks. Deep voice, you know. Raja Vidya. And then they had a big plate of prasad, so that Prabhupada was handing it out to everybody. And it was, I remember, and then the newsman came, and he was talking to Prabhupada with the microphone. And Prabhupada looked at him, and remember, the newsman was very happy, you know, you could see he really appreciated Prabhupada. And New York is, you know, everywhere is special with Prabhupada, but New York was just more special. And Prabhupada was smiling, and I noticed Prabhupada was smiling at him, just like he would smile at, say, you know, the deities or the devotee. He was not any different. He treated him just like, you know, like he was a devotee, you know, just. And the man, there was so much reciprocation there. And anyway, I can go on and on and on about the airport scenes. They're just too ecstatic. They're so ecstatic. You thought you were in, like a heavenly planet or something, or Vaikuntha or something. It was just too ecstatic. You can't really describe it. It's not even real. I become overwhelmed if I talk about it too much. It's too ecstatic, you see. And then when it came, I'm trying to think of some more things. Yeah, this is what I was thinking. That one. So, mostly we went to the airport to see Prabhupada, but this time there was a time change or something. So some of us were at the temple, some were at the airport. So Prabhupada came in a limousine, and not a limousine, a car. And so anyway, the car pulled up on the street, Henry Street, and right in the middle of the street, and Prabhupada gets out in the middle of the street, and we're on a sidewalk in front of the temple, and so, you know, the boys are paying their obeisances, they're crying, they're laughing, they're jumping in the air, all these things. And Prabhupada stood in the middle of the street like this, and he went like this, paper noms to us, like this. And I was thinking, boy, look at this, how is it possible? You know how you pay your obeisances to a great, you know, like to Krishna or any, you know, that's what Prabhupada was doing to us, or like this. And it's just too, I don't know the words.
Thank you.
Anyway, once I get started, I can go on and on.
Okay.
But anyway.
Thank you very much for sharing. So, like, the mood is of, like you are right now after like what, 40 years, you have still sensed that mood. That is so amazing that
yeah,
you can
yeah,
still
I
sense
can
that.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, that tenure. But I mean, any temple is special anywhere in the world, but that Henry Street temple is it was too much. It was like a beehive, you know, it was really something.
Hare Krishna.
I mean, you can go there now, you can still feel it.
Hmm.
It's still there. In fact, I'll tell you that story later. I went there once, one woman was there, and I had a book, and I sat on the steps. And I started crying. I had a Bhagavad Gita. I started crying because, and then this lady came out the door. And I said, "You know where you are?" I said, "You're in a special holy place. This is." And then she bought the book. and I said, "This place is so special." And when you look at it, you think, "How did 100 devotees fit in there?" It's almost like it expanded because it didn't look big enough for 100 devotees. But there were so many devotees and we're sleeping on the, you know, when you go up the steps and you got a landing and then you go up the steps, they were sleeping there on the hallways, everything. Sleep, roll up your sleeping bag and...
Okay, well, let's stop. We can keep talking, but we can...
Oh, I'll tell you one more.
Yes.
You want to hear a quick one?
Yes. No, I'm not going to.
One day when Prabhupada... 2 weeks before Prabhupada came to New York, it rained for 2 weeks straight. And the day Prabhupada came, it stopped raining. And Prabhupada walked into the backyard, and there's a tree in the backyard, a tulip tree. And the day he came, that tree bloomed with 1,000 flowers. That thing bloomed the day he came. There's all these things that would happen, just like Brahmananda used to say. Whenever it was something to do with Prabhupada, it was always these little miracles happening, you know, like little things where you could see.
Hare Krishna.
Thank
you, Prabhuji. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai.
Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna.